Amen. How many are ready to be Spirit-led? Amen. How many are ready to be led where your trust is without borders? That was a little quieter. Amen. That one gets a little trickier, doesn't it? I think about that one when I sing it sometimes. To make that step of faith, sometimes to step out and say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my callings. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my finances. Amen? To trust him because our faith will hold us in a strength that even when we don't know where he's leading us, that we trust the process that he will bring us to what he's called us for. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes trusting the process and trusting God in our lives to lead us in every area of our life. Amen? I wanted to, I have an invitation here on September 9th, which I believe is next Saturday. They have a grand opening for the Hope House in town, and that is the building that has been built for or remodeled for the Homeless Coalition. So we now have a Hope House in Berkeley run by the Homeless Coalition that we have sewed into. And it is on 47 Union Street, which is right beside the Refuge Church and the 7-Eleven in town, if you know where that is. And so from 10 to 12, they're going to have a walk a while in their shoes. It's a walk-a-thon from Widmyer to the shelter. And then from 12 to 4, they're having food. They're having a pig roast, a dedication of the shelter, ribbon cutting. They're going to have some music by Cape and Bridge in the Refuge Church. And then they're going to have a silent dessert auction. So if you would like to donate a dessert or help with the walk-a-thon or be a part of that in any way or go and support that, that is next Saturday. And I'll put that on the board out there. And they are doing a good thing for the community. So. That's awesome. Amen. And then that following Wednesday, we start conference here at Word of Deliverance. It's good times. Amen. A lot of good things in store for what God is doing in our midst. Well, I'm excited you're here today. Thanks for coming. Being a part of our service today. Last Sunday, we started a series called Planted. We were talking about planted. Not too long ago, we did a series on roots. How many remember a series on roots? How many know before you can have roots, you got to be planted? There's got a seed fall into the ground. And I was laughing, you know, in doing this series, talking about the power of a seed. Amen? The power of a seed. We talked last week about the power of a dandelion. Man, a dandelion has got some tenacity, right? That little tiny seed that will float and fly in the air will find a spot anywhere and grow. And so I pray, Lord, give me the tenacity of a dandelion. I don't need to be a rose. I'll take a dandelion, right? So we were over at Dan's garage yesterday, and we were coming out, and he has a shed built on the back of it where we keep the tractor and some stuff like that, and it's gravel, and there's a lid on it. It's gravel, and there's a lid on it. Yeah, not a lid, a roof. There's a roof on it. And so we're coming out there, and I look down, and here's this plant growing in those rocks under that roof, and I just giggled and said, Lord, what power you have placed in a seed to reproduce itself. Amen. So when I talk about being planted, I want to have that kind of tenacity. Amen. That no matter where I'm at or where I'm planted, that the Lord can bring forth something in my life that is stable, and not only just stable, but it brings forth fruit. How many of you want to bring forth fruit in your life? Want to be fruitful? I want to live a fruitful life. Amen. We said the kingdom's full of fruit trees and nut trees, right? Fruits and nuts. Y'all probably know some of them, right? And yeah, fruits and nuts. But how many know we're known by our fruits, the scripture says. And so our and it's a calling and a challenge for us to bring forth fruit, and that fruit might remain. And I'm not just talking about apples and peaches or, you know, I'm talking about love, joy, peace, and all of the things that the that love produces are the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, all of those things. So being planted, having our feet on a solid rock, solid foundation, being planted, being established, being stable, being productive. Amen. And so I told you I've been in my trying to work in my flower bed some here in the last little bit, but between the drought and the weeds and the little brown animals on four legs, they are working on my patches, right? Tell me, no, it's not just enough to plant the seed. You have to guard the seed. And so in the last little bit, we have had turkeys and deer everywhere where we are. And them cute little four-legged critters will eat my hostas and eat my lilies and eat the roses off of my rose bushes. But come fall, we're going to eat them, right? That's just fair play. How many know sometimes it's not just enough to plant the seed? The seed needs care. It needs planted. The ground needs to be stirred up. There needs to be the planting of the seed, and it needs to be good seed. And then there needs to be water, and there needs to be sun. And then you got to guard the seed. How many know there's sometimes that you've got to put a fence up or some boundaries? Can we say it like that? You got to have some boundaries around the seed so that the enemy or the those who would bring crop damage don't come in and steal the seed that has been planted in your heart. I mean, no, the seed of the kingdom is planted in our heart. And I want to talk about the seed a little bit today. I want to talk about the parable of the sower, and I want to bring a little bit different light on the parable of the sower. We started last week talking about planted, and we went to Ecclesiastes, as it was, and talked about there's a time to be, there's a, to everything there is a season. We talked about there's a difference between time and seasons, right? Right now, we are still in summer season. Although last week it felt like fall, this week it's going to feel like summer again, but it's still fall, right? And then we sometimes will say, well, it's football season, right? But it's not football season, it's football time. There's a difference between times and seasons. And so we talked about, and you can go back and find that on the podcast. I don't want to re-preach that this morning or I won't get to where I'm going. So it's on the podcast. If any time you miss a sermon, you go to wodchurch.com and it is on the podcast, or you can go back and watch us on live stream. But I want to talk about something that I felt like the Lord kind of dropped in my heart a thought, and you know, when we look at parables, sometimes we try to understand parables in New Covenant mindsets. What's Jesus trying to say in a New Covenant paradigm when he is speaking to the Jewish audience that he's speaking to? But not only did he speak to a Jewish audience, but he also spoke to a Gentile audience. I mean, no, Jesus came to make of twain two, one new man. So that there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male or female, but that we are all what? One in Christ Jesus. How many know that was the point of what Jesus came to do, was to take away that middle wall of partition and make of twain one new man? How many know? How many are thankful that you are grafted in? That you are the seed of the kingdom? That God has planted and established you in the kingdom? He is the vine, right? We are the branches. The branches cannot bear fruit of themselves. You must be connected to the vine. Amen? Amen. We sang it for years, abiding in the vine, right? That the tree, that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's what we are connected to is what we will produce, right? And so we talked last week about the power of our words can become seed, right? So that if everything that you constantly speak out of your mouth is down, destructive, discouraging, how many know that's what you're going to reap from that seed? If you constantly tell a child, why you always acting like that? that's just stupid, or that's, you know, you're just lazy, or whatever. How many know you are planting seeds in them that eventually will take root and grow? And if they've been told all of their life those things, how many know they're not going to expect anything other than what they've always been told? But if we flip that in the other way and we start to say to them, you're intelligent. You're too mature for this. You were born for a better thing than this. How many know you're too good of a child to be acting like this. You're intelligent. You're smart. You're capable. You're worthy. How many have thought most of your life you were unworthy? By sometimes the words that others speak over you. Well, you know, and we sometimes get the mindset, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And so we think that we live in a mindset of that. But I want to tell you, I'm the seed of the kingdom. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm an heir and joint heir with him. I was born for such a time as this. I am salt. I am light. I am the righteousness of God. That's the seed that I once sowed in this garden. Amen. That's what I want to reap. And so the our words have power. And we can either sow those words. And I said last week, how many of you can think back in a moment in your mind of something negative that was spoken over you in your life? And the fact that you remember that means that that seed took root in you somewhere. And you sometimes will revert back to that. And how is it that we can have 100 positive things spoken over us and one negative, and what do you go away with? That one negative one. How many know sometimes we got to root those things out of there? I told you last week I bought this thing on Amazon. It looks like these three little claws. And it's this little handle, and it's made for getting down and hooking them weeds that's in my garden and jerking them out of there. And it works really good in soft ground. But man, when you get the ones that are growing up between the bricks, it is hard to get that root out of there. I can get the top of it off. I can't get the root. What happens if I don't get the root? It springs back. How many know sometimes we let God deal with the surface things that we see, but we don't always let God deal with the root of what's there. Someone was reaching out to me this week for prayer and stuff, and they were saying, you know, talking about abusive background and things like that, and those things are rooted in them. And the person that sowed those seeds in is the person that should have been their biggest fan. Amen. And so our words have power, and there are seeds sown into fallow ground or sowed into the ground, and what we plant, what we water, is what we reproduce. You want to see your kids be successful? Sow words of successful things in them. You want your marriage to be successful? How many know your words matter? Amen. If you want your church to be successful, if you want the situation on your job to change, how many know sometimes you have to be the one to step up and say, yeah, I know this is a situation. How can we fix it? What can we do about it? You know, because you can jump on the bandwagon and be negative with it real quick, right? You don't have to go very far to find a conversation to get into that's negative right now. Amen. And where people want to talk about even how terrible our world is and how terrible our economy or how terrible our government and things like that, I want to tell you that we are living a blessed life right now. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes we're complaining about that while we're eating our steak and we're sitting with our feet propped up in our air conditioning and all those kind of things. I want to tell you, I am thankful for the God that I serve and the life that he has given. And I don't take it for granted what he has brought our way. Is there anybody blessed in the house this morning? Come on. I don't buy a hamburger from McDonald's and I don't do that very often, but I don't buy one of them that I don't say, thank you, Lord, because I can remember the day when a McDonald's hamburger was everything in the world. Man, we didn't get anything like that growing up. And when we got one, we appreciated it. And I want to tell you, those are the times that made me appreciate where I am today and say, thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank you for your bounty and thank you for your blessings. I remember going to Bob and Linda's one weekend for whatever reason, and McDonald's had a sale on hamburgers. And you could, I think it was 10 for a dollar. I'm not sure about that. That don't seem like very much, and that was a very, well, long time ago. I'll say that quickly, but when there's nine of you in the family, McDonald's hamburgers don't go very far, right? Amen. But I thank the Lord, and I want to sow those seeds. Another thing that I hear all the time, and we say, man, I'm just getting old, and this body is breaking down. I am not confessing that over my body. I'm thanking the Lord for every day I get up and I have strength and I have breath and I have momentum and I have movement. And yes, there are times when our bodies don't function the way they were. But I want to tell you, we can either confess that over us and accept it and look for that, or we can get up and move and say, by his stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, today that you've given me movement. Thank you that you've given me life. Thank you, giving me the strength to work. Hallelujah. And so we begin to confess things over, and our words have power. But I want to talk a little bit today about the parable of the sower. And it's probably very familiar to most of you, but I want to take a little bit of different spin on it. So if you give me some liberty with that this morning, I want to share it. There's so many different ways you can look at the parable of the sower, all right? But before that, I want to go to Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 in the Message Bible. But it says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. He distributes heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. How many of you are ready for a glorious inner strength? That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted, everybody say planted, firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. I like that. The extravagant dimension of his love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. I want to go to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we want to go down to about verse 17, but it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. I want you to take a minute and look at that. In the beginning, the very beginning, was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. So who's the light? Jesus. Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He was with God. John came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, everybody say the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word dwelt among us. It was flesh that dwelt among us. How many know we're talking about Jesus in John 1:1? He's the Word. He is the light. He is the seed. In John 12:24, it says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How many know for a seed to bring forth fruit, it must die in the earth, right? Everybody understand the germination process of a seed. It must explode in a sense. It germinates. And out of it comes the seed that will come forth. And out of that plant will come what? Many seeds. How many seeds are in a tomato plant? How many seeds are in an ear of corn? A lot. But it came from what? One seed. The seed multiplies itself. The seed is in itself. The scripture says that he put every seed in itself to reproduce itself. So we're talking about the seed being the Word. In Matthew chapter 13, with that in mind, I want to talk about the parable of the sower. And the sower begins to sow the seed, which is the Word, amen, Jesus in the flesh. Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sowed. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But if the seed falling on ground, on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, this is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what has been sown. When we look at this portion of scripture, we see that there is a seed of the kingdom. I mean, Jesus is talking to them in parables for a purpose. He said, because they have, Isaiah prophesied and said, they have ears to hear and they will not hear. They have eyes to see. Their eyes and their ears are waxed dull of hearing and they will not hear. But blessed are those who hear and understand the word of the kingdom. How many know when he's talking in a parable, he's talking in a revelation. He's trying to give a story of something that's happening. Now, this parable tells us that a farmer or a sower goes forth to sow seed into a field. How many know we just said in John chapter 1 that Jesus was the Word, right? The scripture tells us that the seed that's sown into the ground is the Word of the kingdom. So when we look at that, Jesus is the seed that's being sown in this parable. Okay, so if we look at that as Jesus being, now there's so many ways to understand the parable of the sower. How many know how we hear matters? What we hear matters. So how our heart is prepared to see. So let me say it like this. We are the hearer. We are the fields that's being sowed in. We are the seed. And we can relate to this parable in every one of those areas, right? So when back years ago, when the kids went to church, we went to a church camp out in Indiana, and they taught the parable of the sower, and they said, what kind of field are you? Are you the good ground? Are you the beaten path? Are you the thorny ground? Are you the rocky ground? And Morgan said, well, I think I'm the seed. And they said, well, why do you think you're the seed? She said, well, I think I'm the seed being sown in to the ground that's around me. I thought that was a great revelation. I never thought of it about, like, how many know we are seed being sown into every arena that we go into? Amen? When we are in the classroom, we are seed being sown in that ground. When you're in a doctor's office, you are seed being sown into that ground. How many know we have a field of harvest everywhere we go? Amen. And so we are seed sown into that. But I want to talk to you today a little bit about in a different understanding. Remember, we have a Jewish audience. Jesus is sowing a parable so that those who should understand don't understand necessarily what's happening, but those who will receive the seed in faith will understand. So Jesus is equating himself to the seed. How many know he is the seed that is sown into the ground? Yeah. Now, the first thing that he says that the seed is sown into is the beaten path. One translation, one of them says it's the beaten path. One of it says it is the wayside. Some of it say we were at the carnival last night. Can I just tell you, there was a whole lot of beaten path up there in that field by the time everybody left, because how many know everybody had driven over it and everybody's feet had trampled down. All the grass was there. It was definitely a beaten path. Amen. And so he said Jesus was the seed that was sown into the beaten path. Can I say it like this? Jesus was seed that was sown into the multitude. He was seed that was sown into the way that everybody was walking in. How many of the scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction? How many know it's the way of the multitude? How many know it's easy to get caught up in the way of the multitude? But in looking at that, how many know the beaten path or the way of the multitude was the way of the religious leaders and the scholars of that day? How many know that was the path, and Jesus constantly challenged them on their traditions of men. And so that when Jesus would stand up and he would begin to preach, how many know what would happen? What would happen when Jesus would stand up and begin to preach? He would start to have pushback, right, from the religious group and the scholars and the scribes and Pharisees, and they would start to challenge him. And I submit to you this morning that the birds that come to steal the seed that was on the beaten path were the Jewish leaders and the scribes and Pharisees, that when Jesus would begin to sow and speak of new covenant realities and new covenant faith, they would come and snatch the seed away before it could take root in the hearts of the people that Jesus, how many know it was the multitude that crucified him? That's the beaten path, the multitude. And so before the seed could take root, they would come and snatch it away. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 12, preceding Matthew chapter 13, you'll understand a little bit what Jesus is commenting about. First of all, the disciples are in the field on the Sabbath day. And they're plucking corn. And they're rubbing the grain of corn and they're eating corn on the Sabbath day. And so the scribes and Pharisees stand up and say, what are your disciples doing plucking corn on the Sabbath day? Right? And so then he just says to them, Sabbath was not created for, man were not created for the Sabbath. Sabbath was created for man. I mean, we're celebrating Labor Day this weekend. And so you have a day to rest from your labors. Amen? That's what the Sabbath was for. It wasn't so that God could have a special holiday. It was so men could have rest. The earth could have rest. But how many know they begin to rebuke him and say, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. And so he moves on there. What's next? There's a man with a withered hand. And so he goes into the multitude of the man with the withered hand, and he says to the man, stretch forth your hand. And the man has an arm who's atrophied, or a man has an arm that's withered, and he cannot have an outreach, and he can't stretch it out. And I mean, there's prophetic looks of that when the fivefold ministry becomes atrophied and cannot be stretched out. How many know it cannot minister to those that are around it? But he looks at the man, and he said, stretch forth your hand. And when he does, the man's hand was healed. But what does the crowd do? Instead of the crowd goes wild, and revival breaks out, and everybody's shouting and rejoicing. And man, the guy got healed of his withered hand. They say, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. They challenged him again on the Sabbath day. I mean, no, they were plucking the seeds that had been sown that Jesus had just planted to the multitude. And they were saying, oh, no, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath day. But I submit to you, if you're the man with the withered hand, you don't care what day of the week it is. And I want to tell you, the man who created the stars and hung the moon and created the heavens and the earth knows how to read a calendar. And I want to tell you, he's taken them beyond the level of what day of the week it is and saying, but I am your Sabbath and I am your rest. And when he was moved with compassion, the woman who was bowed over, who could not lift herself up, didn't care what day of the week it was, and the man who had blinded eyes didn't care what day of the week it was, but he said, I don't know who healed me. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. I don't care about your methods. I don't care about your ceremonies. What I care about is I was blind, and I have been made whole on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. And so what happens in the beaten path is when Jesus would begin to speak to the multitude, they would come along behind him and they would pluck up everything that he had begun to plant and everything that he had begun to sow. And he would say to them, you can't do that. How many know when Jesus goes to heal people and he would say to them, your sins be forgiven you. Man, it would blow their minds out of the safety zone because they said, who has the right to forgive sins? That you have the right. We didn't slay no goat. We didn't slay no sheep. We didn't catch any pigeons. We didn't offer a sacrifice. We didn't wash your hands. And you're going to say to them, your sins be forgiven you. How many can raise your hand in here today and say that thank you that I came to a high priest that was already slew a lamb that was sacrificed. So when I came here today, I didn't have to bring a woolly lamb. I didn't have to bring a pigeon or two turtle doves or an oxen or a bullock. I didn't have to have a wave of a sheaf offering, but I could come as myself and offer myself an offering and realize that I've been forgiven of my sins because I have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities, who already made the offering for me. Yep. Hallelujah. But Jesus, you're not doing it right. And you're doing it on the wrong day of the week. Yep. How many know Jesus didn't intend most of the miracles in the New Testament that Jesus does? He does them on the Sabbath. Why? To prove a point that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And so what they would continually do was try to come and steal the seeds that Jesus began to plant about new covenant and life and salvation and grace through Jesus that would come in a way that we could receive them. Hallelujah.
went in and laid down beside her until she got warm and raised her from the dead. And somebody came there to preach at his church and told him he was doing it wrong, that he was doing it from the posture of deliverance. So he asked me when I was there preaching, he said, what do you think of how I do this, Dr. Iles? I said, that little girl you raised from the dead don't care what I think about it. That family that received that little girl don't care what I think about the formula. They were so hung up on the formula that they missed the whole power of the miracle, and it really started to hinder some stuff, you know, because all of a sudden you're questioning, am I doing this right? I mean, I just said, man, you do what it works to it. You know, when they raise 22 from people from the dead, let them give you another formula. So, you know, it's kind of like, it's amazing to me how sometimes the Pharisees could be in that day, because they're all looking at how they always thought it should be. And, you know, their formulas and their ideas and their doctrines is more important than really what just happened. It doesn't matter how he did it. He did it, you know.
Amen. Amen. And so when you come along to you see the parable, and I want to go there just yet, but when you come along and see the parable of the wheat and the tares, you understand that the tares are the traditions of men that they had sown into the field. I mean, no, it wasn't even Jesus would challenge them constantly, not just on the law of Moses, but their traditions of men. You have added things on them that have made them burdens too heavy for the people to bear. Amen? And so they had made such laws that the people were living under that it would snatch the seed of God right out from under them before they could even take root or become fruitful in their life. I mean, no, he's talking to a Jewish audience there when he says that. The path that everyone takes is the popular path, the multitude. It was the multitude that had been beaten down. It was the beaten path. And the birds, most often, were the scribes, Pharisees, and the religious lawyers of the day that would challenge what Jesus was saying. The path that seemed right was their law and their traditions. They were plucking corn on the Sabbath. They healed a man with a withered hand, and he cast out demons on the Sabbath. And none of that thrilled the crowd. How many know it just made them angry? See, we can get so caught up sometimes on how we do it or how they do it. Well, this group does it this way, and this group does it this way. And I don't care about formulas. I don't care about programs. What I care about is presence. And I'm after presence, because if the presence of the Lord is available and active and moving, he will do what he said about to do, and he will do it in his own way. Hallelujah. Jesus continually did miracles among the people, and rarely ever did he duplicate the process. Did you ever think about that? He never did it the same way twice. One time he would spit in the mud and put it on their eyes, and their eyes would be open. Another time he tells a blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. How in the world do you find the pool of Siloam if you're blind? Except somebody get you by the hand and take you there. Yeah. I mean, next time he would just speak a word over him. Another time he would reach out and touch him. Another time he would send a word. The centurion came to him. He said, I'm a man under authority. I understand protocol. I understand authority. I understand power. If you'll just speak a word, then I know my servant will be healed. How many know he talked to the Syrophoenician woman when she came to him as a Gentile and said, can you heal my baby girl because she's possessed with a demon? And he said to her, you know that healing is the children's bread. And she petitions him and said, but you know that even the dogs eat the scraps from under the table. He said, woman, I've not seen so much faith like this. You go, and when you get home, your baby girl's going to be okay. I don't care how Jesus does it. I don't care if he does it in the still small voice. I don't care if he does it in the earthquake. I don't care if he does it through a woman. I don't care if he does it through a man. I don't care if he does it through a donkey. If God is doing it, I want to be in the midst of what he's doing, and so that the presence of God is what is visible and available to every man, woman, and child. Can I tell you, there have been many multitude in the church that God began to plant a seed and do a work in their life. And before you know it, we had so many rules and regulations about what you had to do to be a Christian that 6 months down the road, we done plucked up every seed that God ever planted with our rules and our regulations. But if you ever fall madly in love with Jesus, it won't be about rules and regulations and the do's and don't. It'll be such a relationship that moves you in such a way that says, I have found the one whom my soul loveth. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon says, for lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The time of singing of birds have come, and the voice of the turtle dove, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, how many know the turtle don't have a voice? That word there really means turtle dove or the dove. And I submit to you this morning, there may be some of you that are ready to proclaim and say, my winter is over and the rain has come and gone, but the time of singing of birds have come, the time of the flowers and the appearing of the flowers on there. I'm ready to bloom. I don't know about you. I'm ready for what has been planted in me to produce fruit and bloom in such a way, hallelujah, that the voice of the dove is the only thing that's heard out of me. How many know the dove represents the power of the Holy Spirit? And I submit to you this morning that when you let the dove talk, how many know the dove will say what the dove wants to do? When it landed on Jesus at the Jordan, it opened up a heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. When the dove begins to talk, how many know the dove talks with affirmation to a son? How many know the father always empowers the son with a word of affirmation? It's what gave him the strength when he gets driven into the wilderness to say, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. How many know the Father had already spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son. I already know who I am in Christ. I know my identity. I know I was called for such a time as this. And stones will never be made bread. The stone of the law will never be the bread of life that God provides for us. Hallelujah. If God is well pleased with you, it doesn't matter what man's opinion is. Amen. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we are. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture, there's a scripture out of Isaiah 53 that says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. How many know it's talking about Jesus as being the tender plant that grew up out of its place, a root, out of the stem of Jesse. Hallelujah. How many know he is the seed sown into the ground? He was sown on the beaten path. How many know there was some seed that was sown in stony ground, which represents the stone of the law? There was seed that was sown into thorny ground, which represents the curse. And then there was seed that was sown into good ground, and it brought forth fruit, and fruit that it should remain. Hallelujah. How many know they would pluck the seed that Jesus would plant even before it could take root in the heart of people? And we sometimes will do the same thing if we're not careful. It's in the parable of the wheat and the tares. One of the worst things you could do under Jewish covenant, under Jewish law, was to sow bad seed in somebody's field. Because it would take years to get the bad seed back out of that ground, the amount of time that would take. But when he gives us the parable of the wheat and the tares, they said somebody went in and sowed some bad seed in your field. And he said, what do you want us to do with it? How many know some of what the scribes and Pharisees had sowed into the field of the multitude of that day was bad seed? It was tares. He said, what do you want us to do with it? He said, just let it alone. Because when I come in to try to pull up the weed out of your life, if I'm not careful, I'll pull up those things that are good. Where you all are sitting used to be our garden growing up. This was our bean patch, our corn patch. And I don't know about you as a kid, but there's a weed that looks a whole lot like a corn stalk when it's little. And the best way to get out of the garden and pulling weeds was to start pulling the things that was the corn and not the weeds. And then Dad would say, no, you need to go in the house and wash jars because you're pulling up the wrong plant. But they looked a lot alike, right? And so the quickest way to get out of that field was to try to pull the wrong seed up out of there. Now, I mean, so often what we try to do is pull up the little things out of people's life instead of fertilizing those things which are good. Because when we fertilize that good seed, what it will ultimately do is overtake those things in there that are not profitable, those things that are not good, and all of a sudden the seed is producing a crop that it needs to produce. He said, I'll deal with that later. How many know he said, we'll gather it in bundles and we'll burn it. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit is a consuming fire? That I don't have to, I'm not talking about eternal hell damnation fire. I'm talking about Jeremiah said, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. There's something inside of me that burns, that consumes everything that's not the good seed, so that what is produced in the field is a crop that is profitable for all. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. The seeds we sow matter in the natural, in the spiritual, whatever it is that we sow. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we would love to pray with you. If you're here and you need special prayer, you want us to pray over you or pray with you, we would love to do that. But I ask you, just submit your heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I'll ever be is I trust you, Lord, to bring about the harvest that you desire in my heart, in Jesus' name.